Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 179. I'm Rob Wright, security news director, and I am here, as usual, with my security news writer, Alex Kulafi. Alex, welcome.
Can I just say, Rob, that there has never been a better time to report about cybersecurity?
You've said that now a few times, and it's, I guess it could get incrementally truer. Is that even a word? I don't even know if that's a word. I should probably know that since I'm an editor. Yes, what a time to be alive, Alex. We're recording this on August 25th. We've been off for a couple of weeks since before Black Hat and DEF CON. We've had some time off. I've had some time off. There's been some slow news weeks here, but we still have something important to talk about today. Mm-hmm. That we've covered a few times, kind of touches on Black Hat and DEF CON, and that is proxy shell. It's hard to know where to begin with this one, but I guess I'll just start at the beginning and we'll go from there. So everyone, maybe not everyone, most people probably remember proxy logon, the Microsoft Exchange vulnerabilities that were revealed earlier this year that had been discovered, I think back in December, if my timeline is correct, and had been reported to Microsoft in early January, I believe, by a security researcher who goes by the handle Orange Sai, who is a researcher at a InfoSec consultancy called DevCore. Orange Sai had found this proxy shell, proxy logon.
Okay. So at the beginning, were you talking about proxy shell when was proxy shell discovered in December?
Yes. No, okay. Proxy logon. No.
I'm so confused, Rob.
Yes. So are the listeners. So proxy logon was the original Exchange server vulnerabilities. And Orange Sai discovered those, reported them to Microsoft in early January. And at some point after it was reported to Microsoft, exploitation of those vulnerabilities started to occur. And as the vulnerability disclosure reporting confidential periods started to come toward the end, exploitation activity of these vulnerabilities ramped up, and the majority of the activity was later attributed, I believe by Microsoft initially, to a Chinese nation state threat organization called Hafnium. It was a big mess. It was one of the bigger stories that we've had in a year, a 2021 that's had a lot of big stories. Proxy logon was a bad situation. Not the least of which because we're still trying to figure out how vulnerabilities that were discreetly and confidentially reported to Microsoft somehow, everyone sort of seems to agree at this point that the Hafnium guys, the threat actors, got a hold of the information and the proof of concept exploit and started using it. How it leaked, how these threat actors obtained it, we don't know. It was a bad situation. A lot of Exchange servers, on-premise Exchange servers got attacked. So you think, okay, we're done with that. You know, that was months ago. Let's move on to another thing. Well, Orange Sai does a Black Hat presentation and a DEF CON presentation, same presentation at both shows, where he says proxy log, this is just great. I mean, it really is. Like, this is highly accurate. So kudos to Orange for having a great title and being very prescient about what was, I guess, going to happen. But he said proxy logon is just the tip of the iceberg. And he goes into sort of the nitty-gritty about proxy logon. But he also mentions there are a couple other vulnerabilities that have been patched recently that he also discovered in Microsoft Exchange server. That are dubbed proxy shell, or one of them is Well, no, they're all collectively proxy shell. It was proxy, right.
Proxy
logon.
Logon refers to one vulnerability, but actually now refers to all four vulnerabilities offhand. But proxy shell formally refers to the set of vulnerabilities, three vulnerabilities that make up proxy shell.
That is why you're my guy. You are my co-pilot. Thank you so much, Alex. yes. The proxy shell, proxy logon thing is going to get confused, I'm sure, again and again. So he starts talking about proxy shell and he goes into it, but he doesn't, you know, these vulnerabilities have already been patched. They've already been disclosed, although we're going to get into that a little bit later, because I think they were patched initially. There's three vulnerabilities, as you said, Alex. Mm-hmm. One was patched, I believe, in April. Another was in May, or two were in April and one was in May. The two of the vulnerabilities did not get disclosed, though, until July. So they were patched. They were fixed. So if you updated your software from Microsoft Exchange Server, you were fine, but you wouldn't necessarily known that there was anything to be concerned about with another Microsoft Exchange flaw, because it wasn't disclosed for whatever reason. Microsoft, it's a little unclear why that happened.
I think the silent story of this year is what's going on at Microsoft.
We're gonna circle back to that, man. So he, you know, he says, here are these vulnerabilities. They've been disclosed. They're patched. Please patch, because they're all so bad. I'm paraphrasing here. I encourage people, the presentations are online. I believe both are on YouTube. DEF CON's definitely on YouTube. To check them out. So he doesn't go into like the full, this is how you exploit them, though. He doesn't release a POC. He just says, these are bad and you should apply your patches if you haven't already. Two other researchers sort of reverse engineer his presentation and blog post to devise a proof of concept exploit. That proof of concept exploit goes into the wild, and then
about a day later from the presentation.
A day after the presentation. And then people are like, oh boy, we better, you know, let's start patching these things now. Because like proxy logon, even with all the attention that got with nation state threat actors, Chinese spies, cyber espionage, stolen 0 days, how did this leak? What happened? All that attention, there were still a significant number, thousands, tens of thousands at one point, Microsoft Exchange servers that had not applied the update to fix the proxy logon vulnerabilities. They were still exposed weeks and months later. So, you know, this proof of concept exploit goes out there. Everyone's saying, patch, let's get this taken care of. Let's not do the proxy logon thing again. Let's learn from our mistakes with proxy shell. And Alex, what happened?
Okay, so as you outlined,
deep breath.
Namaste.
Yeah.
it's been real messy in the last few weeks, because this Orange Sai thing happened on August 5th, the original presentation. Yep. And then it's been a little under 3 weeks since then, and there's mm-hmm. been plenty of developments. For example, I posted a story on the 17th on Search Security about how there were still about 50,000 internet-facing Exchange servers, according to a recent Shodan scan, which, granted, is not perfect math, but it is based on a science and does give helpful information, even if not exact information. Meanwhile, proxy logon is at about 15,000, I think, or maybe 10 to 15,000, but that's several months old by this point.
Yep.
So 50,000. And then researchers were saying that it was unlikely that many of these were honeypots due to various technical things that could also be observed from the Shodan scan. Which is obviously somewhat troubling and goes back to the last episode of Risk and Repeat, where we talked about my patching feature. Patching is difficult for a number of reasons. I recommend folks listen to that episode. And then CISA, the cybersecurity wing of Homeland Security, is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. They said that the flaws were being actively exploited this past weekend, and that they urgently recommended that folks patch. And then we got some more details from various researchers. Huntress talked about that some, and then Kevin Beaumont, the security researcher, published an article on his Medium site where he was calling Proxy Shell worse than Proxy Logon and more exploitable. And then he also revealed, although it's not his, he sort of showed off a new ransomware variant that calls itself Lockfile, that utilized Proxy Shell.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like this is unraveling a little by little. And we're going to see if big enough targets get hit that this is going to get Proxy Logon attention, or if just because of the exhaustion of the news cycle, this doesn't reach those heights, even if maybe it should.
Yeah. This is not a great situation. No. I'm beginning to wonder how, like who, we'll go back to your patching story. One of the things we sort of started out with as sort of a thesis statement for that article was like, who are these people that are not patching? Who are these organizations? How are they not seeing this stuff? I mean, this really drives home that question because, again, Proxy Logon, there was so much press and so much activity around that it was a big, bad situation. And this, I don't think, you know, with respect to Beaumont, I don't think Proxy Shell has hit that level yet. Although the exploit itself may be worse.
By the way, sorry to interrupt, but we should, I don't know if you noted this at the beginning, but it's the three vulnerabilities. It's like one allows for remote code execution.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Escalation of privileges, but it's fairly standard, which it really hurts to say, severe critical vulnerabilities.
Yes. Yeah. It's not good. And they're chained together. I guess like, you know, Beaumont and others have said, it's not very hard to like number one, chain them together and exploit them. It's bad. It's raising a question. What needs to be done to reach some of these organizations that haven't patched yet? And why is this happening again? You know, I thought to myself, some of these have got to be abandoned. Like they have to be abandoned Microsoft server exchange servers that people moved off of, and there's probably a lot of honeypots. But then you hear from the researchers who say, you know, actually, based on like what we're seeing and hearing, we don't think that honeypots are a big chunk of it's probably a very small number of these servers that are still vulnerable, which is just amazing. Like it just feels like more has got to be done to reach these customers, because I have to imagine that this can't all be just because, you know, our colleague Sean Nichols, we've discussed this a number of times. It can be hard to patch server software. It can be hard to patch. It's like to take something offline and to patch it, you know, whether it's a VPN or whatever. And I get that, but it's not like, you know, we're not splitting atoms here with Microsoft Exchange Server. So it can't just be the difficulty and you know, sort of the reluctance that administrators might have to take an Exchange Server to offline for, you know, a couple hours or late at night and apply the patch. Like I get the feeling, in other words, that this is like, that maybe some administrators out there don't have any idea what's going on. Like they don't know that there's such a thing called a proxy shell. They may not even know about Proxy Logon, and that there's a lack of awareness and a lack of information out there. And it's just these things are falling through the cracks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's it kind of goes back to the patching story too, where kind of one of the main summaries of that, or I guess to summarize a lot of the things, it's like folks don't necessarily have the resources. They may have never had a major cyber attack. Yeah. So they don't think the house can burn down because it hasn't happened before.
Complacency. Yeah.
And decentralized technology, lack of inventory. It's just like, there's a lot of reasons for this. But all the while, I also can't help but think of what Kevin was saying, Mr. Beaumont, in his post, where he was kind of calling Microsoft's messaging of Proxy Shell knowingly awful, which is his take on it. That's not necessarily a formal fact, but he makes some interesting points. He says Microsoft was downplaying the importance of the patches and treating them as a monthly exchange patch, which goes back to two of these were patched in April and not disclosed till July. One was patched and disclosed in May, but either way, months until we actually knew. And it took until August for people to know this was important. He criticized Microsoft for that. And then it creates a situation, he said, where Microsoft's customers were misinformed about the severity of one of the most critical enterprise security bugs of the year, which goes back to what I was saying at the beginning. What is going on at Microsoft?
Yes. It's worth noting that. So Beaumont has been a pretty big name in the security research community for a number of years, and particularly around Microsoft. I believe he did discover the Bluekeep vulnerability. I think he named it, if memory serves. I have to go back and look. But influential guy, and it's worth noting that he, for a very, very brief period of time, I think earlier this year, was actually working at Microsoft. It was a very short stint. I think he left sometime in the spring, if memory serves. So he was independent and then joined up with Microsoft and then left. It sounds like it was on good terms, but he just preferred to be independent. He was very critical of Microsoft, and I don't understand. I think for something of this nature, Proxy Shell, where it's critical vulnerabilities and it's against Microsoft Exchange Server, and you know how dangerous these vulnerabilities can be, and you just went through this with Proxy Logon, it does, like, this is not, I need a better explanation as to what happened and why these things were not disclosed. I don't want to hear about, clerical error that prevented these things from getting CVEs. Because as he notes, like, so much of this vulnerability management picture out there for organizations is based on CVEs and based on knowing what, the prioritizing the vulnerabilities based on what their score is and what they're for and whether it's critical and this, that, and the other thing. It's like, if you don't have that, like, I don't know, somebody might have got that patch back in May for a couple of those proxy shell vulnerabilities and, didn't realize the importance of it. And many people probably did. Maybe they didn't apply it because they didn't think it was serious, but it is serious, obviously. And it just, you kind of wonder what's going on. Like, if there was going to be a slip up like this, like, sure, Microsoft is a big company. They got a lot of vulnerabilities. They're doing Patch Tuesday. Things like this have happened in the past before. But for Microsoft Exchange Server, you just went through this with Proxy Logon. Like, it just seems strange. And it is a head scratcher. And it's not a good look for the company. The larger question is, this has happened, not this exact thing, but criticism has been leveled at Microsoft for a couple of other things, not just this proxy shell. There's other people out there who have noted the same thing. Like, why didn't you, how did this not get disclosed? Like, why didn't it happen until July? And okay, you disclosed it in July. Why didn't you do more in the weeks leading up to this being a major presentation at Black Hat and DEF CON to let people know, to let people know that this was serious? I don't understand. I it makes no sense to me why they decided to not do more. I mean, the cynic in me thinks like, well, they probably just decided that they didn't want to draw attention to when they wanted, they didn't need another headache with exchange vulnerabilities, but they had to know that this was going to get exploited, or this, somebody was going to start scanning for this at the very least. And I don't get it.
Yeah. I think Microsoft has had a weird year, and this has been a pattern of, if not necessarily malintent on their end, of weird stories Microsoft has been caught up in the entire year, starting with the SolarWinds feudy looking thing at the beginning of the year. Yep. Then you got proxy log on and sort of criticism against that. You got proxy shell, and you just have this general public, not public, I guess, InfoSec public opinion
InfoSec
turning
Twitter.
Against
yeah.
InfoSec Twitter, kind of turning against Microsoft, at least in a louder way than it had been
yes.
previously. And just, I'm trying to, this is my opinion, but this is from my own perspective, thinking about like what could be going on at Microsoft. Is there something, probably something going on, but I'm just, because it's weird interacting with them with all this stuff going on, because I won't name names, but there are other companies that as media I've interacted with who've had like a hostile interaction with media. But Microsoft spokespeople, at least in my experience, even though they won't give me comments usually, they're still often very nice.
Yeah.
And it doesn't line up exactly with what we've been seeing and hearing
yep.
on the back end. So there's this contrast that's kind of confusing. They're not acting like a company with its back against the wall, and maybe they're not, but it's been a weird year is all I'm saying.
No, it has. And I'll just tell you, Alex, that if I could rewind 20 years and show you what it was like to cover the company during the antitrust era, yeah, it's night and day. No, they're very helpful. I mean, I think that the just in general, that we deal with the people on the security side, and they by and large are at least responsive and at least make a good effort to help and provide information. And it's definitely appreciated because, like I said, I've been on the other side of that where it's not so pleasant, and you get stonewalled, and you just it's not fun.
They're actively hostile to
or
you,
yeah.
which other companies Microsoft size have been accused of before. Yeah, not naming names.
We're not going to name names. We'll.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
like we'll it's very interesting given the stuff this year.
Yes, it has. It has been. But yeah, no, and it's not just the things you mentioned. I mean, there was something recently with, I believe it was one of the latest prints. It was the print spooler vulnerability cascade.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. You had written the one about, I think that was the most recent one. And there was a researcher, I think it was Victor Mata, if I'm getting the name right. I'd have to go back and
I'm pulling it up as we speak.
And yeah, but there's some questions about why that was delayed as long as it was, because I think he had tweeted something about like, hey, I reported this to Microsoft in December of last year and agreed to hold technical details about it until it was patched. And it's like, well, how did they've known about it since December? And
then they just closed it without a patch.
And it's August and you just disclosed it without a patch. Like what's and this, I mean, we're not talking about nuclear fusion here. This is print spoolers.
And their solution is to disable printing to just not print anything.
Yeah. It's just like, don't print anything. And then there was another thing too. Our colleague, Ariel Walden, highlighted this to me. I hadn't seen it, but there was a post from, it was Tenable. And a member of their research team had written a post. It was a really good post. It was, you know, 1 year after Zero Logon, which was another vulnerability. What can we learn from this, the whole thing? And I thought, you know, I'm reading it and I'm like, oh, this is kind of technically interesting. And, you know, it sort of breaks down like, okay, here's when it was released, or the patch was released and disclosed in August. And, you know, a proof of concept was published about a month later in September. But then, you know, you have these CISA emergency directives, very familiar to what we're talking about right now, saying, hey, please patch, please patch, please patch. And then inevitably at the end of the month in September, a year ago, hey, we have threat activity. We have people exploiting this. There's APTs attacking organizations using Zero Logon. And I'll just point out that, like, this is, again, not to, to pile on to Microsoft, but, you know, there was a passage toward the end of this post from Tenable that was, you know, it's like, hey, there's nothing cutting edge here about like this vulnerability. And, you know, it's talking about the main takeaways. And it said, the author said, unfortunately, the main action I can see here isn't for defenders, it's for vendors. The primary reason for this situation was the scoring discrepancy of CVE 2020-1472 when it was initially disclosed. Had Microsoft been more communicative about the score change, defenders would have had accurate information with which to perform initial prioritization. And she goes on to sort of explain, like, you know, the sort of the mixed messages or the confusion around like how serious this was and why it should be a priority when it maybe indicated that it wasn't that big of a deal. But it's things like this that have been, like you said, piling up lately for Microsoft. And you just wonder, like, you know, is this just a rough patch for the company, or is there something, you know, larger going on internally where there's been a change in how they approach things? Because they, for a long time, they would sort of, I don't want to say downplay necessarily, but they weren't in the business of just like letting people know, like, they, you didn't have Microsoft, you know, security response center posts, like, just coming at you day after day being like, this is important, you need to do this, you need to do that, like, really keeping people in the loop. They would issue a patch, you know, release the stuff on Patch Tuesday, and that'd be it. And you'd just be on your own to figure out the context and like what's going on and how important is this. I hope we're not going back to that. I hope that they're, I mean, I know we're not going back to that, but it just seems like there's been a lot of, I mean, there has been a lot of criticism against the company lately for these types of slip ups and questionable sort of decisions. And again, hopefully it's just a temporary rough patch for them. Because a lot of companies, I mean, we know, depend on these updates and these advisories and these alerts and these posts that sort of give you the context that you need to figure out how serious something is and whether you need to spin your wheels on a patch that really doesn't mean that much, or whether you need to drop everything, hair on fire, and get something updated now. And that's important.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If you had to guess, you know, or is it just, has just been a tough, you know, maybe COVID pandemic related Delta, you know, resurgence, just throwing some people off, and
we're all in this together, Rob.
Yeah, we are. We are. I mean, we've had our own, you know, struggles with it this summer. So.
God, who knows, right? Like, right. Like, can you really give more of a take than who knows? Other than,
no, you can't. There's
probably something, but who knows?
Yeah, no, and they have like, they have great people over there, and we've dealt with more of a few of them over the years, and they care. I mean, they really do. They're that company made a sea change years ago. You know, when Bill Gates was still helming the company, or at least chairman. I think he was chairman at the time, where they reprioritized security and they made good on it. And I have to believe that this is just a blip on the radar for whatever reason. Because if it's not, it's going to be a lot of headaches for people. Everyone out there, if you're listening to this or reading this or whatever, patch Proxy Shell. Like, I think that's the one thing we can leave people with is read up on it, figure out what it is, figure out how it affects your organization. If you have Microsoft Exchange servers, patch them, get them patched.
Yep.
Because this is,
people are exploiting.
Yeah. And this is like, you mentioned Lockbit. Like, come on, Lockfile, Lockbit. I mean, let's come up with some better names here. I mean, they don't have to be Hello Kitty, but you can do a little better than that. But like, if there's like a new like Lockfile ransomware group exploiting this, I don't think it's gonna be very hard for other attackers to do it. Do you?
I probably not. I mean, God, hope for the best.
Yeah, ever the optimist.
Prepare for the worst.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should probably leave it there until the next development for Proxy Shell, Alex, which I'm guessing there probably will be one at some point. But
yeah, again, we'll see what the next proxy is.
Yeah. Please patch. Please. Well, thank you, Alex, for taking the time to discuss the latest proxy. Appreciate it.
See you at the next one, Rob.
Yeah, right. I'll save you a seat. And thank you to the readers and listeners of Search Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.